For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is time to bring in one of our favorite guests, the host of Dog Nation Daily, which you can hear right here on 960 The Ref at noon, also in podcast form and on their Facebook page. He goes live at 10 o'clock every single morning. Brandon Adams, happy Wednesday. How's everything going with you?
Great. I hope you guys are doing well today as well.
We are certainly doing fine. I wanted to wait until 8:05, which is now. Actually, it's now 8:07, to bring you in on something we have not talked about yet this morning. I want to bring up an old quote that I'm sure is making the rounds quite a bit through dog Twitter. Oh. In fact, I brought it up last night myself. I'm going to read it real quick. A little bit long-winded. I want your thoughts on this afterwards. About a month ago, or back in the beginning of March, Dan Mullen, coach of the Florida Gators, said this. He'd said, "I'd think we did a poor job recruiting if guys were coming in, then immediately walking out the door, because it was something different than what they thought it would be, and we lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true." Brandon, that seemed to be about a certain quarterback that left the University of Georgia. Catch us up now on what's the latest development from Dan Mullen down in Florida.
Yeah, it just so happens that Mullen has a recent four-star signee who has shown up to Florida, looked around, decided he doesn't like it, and has decided to bounce out of the program, which would seem to make Mullen's words there seem pretty hypocritical, because Mullen, once again, kind of talking about another program while not always taking care of his own business. But, you know, Logan, here's what the problem with this is going to end up being. For the Georgia fans who want to call out the hypocrisy and want to get a measure of, retribution against Mullen for some of the things that he's saying, that has said in the past, ultimately I believe that's going to be disappointing for a lot of Georgia fans, because it requires a certain level of shame to be able to notice how your words don't match up with your actions. But in the case of Mullen on this, I think we've already seen that, you know, he doesn't really care about, you know, how reality matches up with the things that he says, because he's, you know, frankly spun some works of fiction with a lot of the stuff that he said this offseason. So the incongruity, which is probably a bigger word than I should be using, but the incongruity between what Mullen said in the quote that you just read and what the actions of the recent Florida quarterback are, I mean, I don't think Mullen's got enough shame to even acknowledge that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Jalen, what was the guy's name, by the way? It was Jalen Jones. He was a four-star recruit. He was a top 100 or top 250, I believe. Anyway, but he is now no longer, after just a spring practice, 15 practices, moving on, or appears to be exploring the option of moving on. That leaves, and I know I've got plenty of Georgia things to get to as well. I don't want to make this all about the Florida Gators, but Emory Jones, the redshirt freshman, Felipe Franks, what are you, and I know we've got certainly some biased views against those lousy, stinking Gators, but where does Florida sit in their quarterback room at this moment? How comfortable should they be?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think for Florida fans, what they're more interested in right now, and maybe what Georgia fans, to the extent they think about Florida, are more interested too, is what the immediate looks like. And I guess, you know, you're trying to do two things in Gainesville right now. You're trying to hype up, you know, Felipe Franks as an improved quarterback and the kind of guy that's capable of leading Florida to, you know, an even better record, or, you know, more formidable challenge in the East than what it was a year ago. And, you know, frankly, I don't know that I see that in Felipe Franks. And as you said, people who are listening in will say, well, B.A., you're just a Gatorator. You know, you're biased about all this. And I'll acknowledge I am, you know, certainly biased in my dislike for Florida. But I'll also add to that that just because I want it to be true doesn't mean that it isn't. That I think that Felipe Franks is going to have, you know, his share of problems. I don't think he's a great quarterback. And frankly, when it comes to Emory Jones, as it stands right now, I don't know how good he is. I mean, we see a lot of freshman quarterbacks come in and play a lot of football in the SEC. We didn't see Jones do a ton of that a year ago. Does that mean he's well behind those other quarterbacks that have thrived in their first years? I guess you'd have to be in Gainesville to know that for sure. I do know this. If you go back to over a year ago, last spring, I mean, Jones seemingly waved the white flag on what was kind of, you know, he thought was going to be kind of a lost year, maybe even a redshirt year. It turns out I don't think that was the case. But just not, you know, not a big year for him. So Florida fans are going to try to tell you that, you know, Jones is the heir apparent and Felipe Franks is just fine. But I'm not sure either one of those two stories is true, to be honest with you.
No, I fully agree with you on that. On your show yesterday, you talked a lot about the current Georgia quarterback, Jake Fromm, who we all love so much around here. The angle you took on this is one that is going to be a conversation amongst Georgia faithful, Georgia media, quite a bit, probably up to a point of ad nauseum over summer, especially leading up to 2019. But you mentioned and brought up the 2020 draft potential of Jake Fromm. Other names mixed in there like Andrew Thomas could make it a very historic draft for the Bulldogs. What is your just gut feeling? I know we have an entire 2019 season to play out before we can make a more educated guess on this. What is just your gut feeling on where Jake Fromm stands looking toward the 2020 draft and what could be maybe his last season at Georgia this coming fall?
I think he has a very good chance of being a first-round pick next April, and if he is going to be a first-round pick, I think that he'll probably leave. And if he's going to be a first-round pick, I think he probably should leave. Now, I also believe that there are some things that Fromm probably needs to add to his repertoire to kind of fully fill out his resume as far as that kind of thing is concerned. But the one thing that Fromm has going for him, the NFL scouts, I believe, are going to really like, is he's very accurate. Now, he's also got, like, you know, loads of intangible qualities and things like that, too. But for the most part, I think the NFL is going to, you know, care more about the on-field stuff. And, you know, Fromm's best on-field attribute is his accuracy. You know, compare that to Jacob Eason for a moment, who could ironically be in the same draft as Fromm next year. If you look at the situation with Eason, stronger arm, probably, you know, looks more like a prototypical NFL quarterback. But from what we saw at Eason at Georgia, Eason was nowhere near as accurate as what Fromm has proven to be. And a lot of coaches will tell you that's not the kind of thing that you can really coach up. You're either accurate or you're not. It's one of the things that the New York Giants may have trouble with when it comes to Daniel Jones. I don't know that he was a particularly accurate quarterback at Duke. You know, Fromm has been an accurate quarterback. That's the one thing that I do think, you know, scouts are going to like. He doesn't have the strongest arm, and, you know, maybe he doesn't make every single throw on the field. You know, doesn't spray the infield with all of his throws. But when he does throw the football, he throws it to his intended target. And I do think NFL scouts are going to really like that.
Speaking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, what do you think? I know you mentioned his accuracy is a pro of Fromm. What's another thing you think the scouts are going to like from him? And then also just comparing him, I know one thing is that a lot of these guys go in first round other than Haskins. I mean, even Locke in the second round can move around a little bit. Do you think his legs will come back to hurt him a little bit since a lot of these guys getting drafted so high now, they can really do it all?
Yeah, Ross, that's a good question. You know, I talked to Trent Dilfer, who is a kind of a noted quarterback guru, back during Super Bowl week, and the one thing that Dilfer, who knows Fromm well because Dilfer was the former head coach of the Elite 11 camp, the one thing that Dilfer said about Fromm at the time was that he thought he needed to improve his athleticism. And what Dilfer says is, and he would know better than me, I guess, but what Dilfer says is that athleticism is something that can be improved upon. I don't know if that means footwork drills or necessarily what the issue there is, but that's one of the things that Dilfer said that Fromm did need to work on was just being, you know, better pocket presence, you know, moving around the pocket more, not necessarily becoming a running quarterback, I don't believe he meant, but just being a more athletic guy and keeping plays alive. That's something Dilfer said he was looking to see. But as far as something else besides the accuracy the scouts are going to like from Fromm, I think that Fromm is going to interview incredibly well. I think for these billionaire owners and the very well-paid GMs, I think they're nervous about making mistakes. They're not so much excited about making the good decisions as they are worried about making a bad decision. I think that Fromm is, I would imagine, going to be a very good interviewee, in this case. My guess is that he will speak very well of himself in these conversations, and that teams are going to feel a certain comfort level in drafting him. You know, I don't know that he projects as the greatest quarterback of all time if you're looking for a player comparable in the NFL, but, you know, if you want to start throwing around, you know, consistent veteran starters like an Andy Dalton, that name might come to mind. If you're going to look at something like that, Fromm probably does, you know, compare pretty favorably to someone like that. And if you can get a guy capable of starting for a number of years, it's worth almost any first-round pick. And I think ultimately that's what a lot of these NFL teams are going to see that, assuming that Fromm continues to grow and develop his game the way that he has the last couple of years.
Brandon, I don't want to pour salt in anybody's coffee this morning. It seems like a little bit of negativity coming from me, but I'm starting to really start worrying about Clemson right now. What Clemson's putting together in their recruiting is just sickening, maybe for a lot of Georgia fans. The defensive linemen they're putting together. Now news yesterday, you and Jeff Sintel talked about it. Miles Murphy is moving his commitment date up to May. Just based on some of the things connecting the dots, as Jeff will say, it doesn't really look great for Georgia, despite him, I believe, being a Georgia legacy, if I'm right on that. But what do we think about what Clemson's putting together right now?
Yeah, I think that it's very easy to look at the defensive line success that Clemson's had in the NFL draft, and for a guy like Miles Murphy or Brian Brzee, who we've talked about in these conversations before, and for those guys to say, hey, I want to be the next one in line. I want to follow up behind when it comes to something like that. And by the way, you know, as much as Clemson lost to this year's draft, when you look at the guys that were also at one point in time Georgia recruiting targets, like, you know, Xavier Thomas and KJ Henry and, you know, players of that ilk who are kind of the next in line to rush the passer for Clemson this season, it's pretty clear that Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator there, has built a pretty good pedigree of that, and there's a brand that, you know, I think really speaks to a guy like Miles Murphy. Now, as we all know, and our audience probably is aware of also, you know, Murphy hasn't made his decision yet, but Logan, I agree with you. At this point in time, I don't expect it to be Georgia, and sooner rather than later, I'm assuming he's probably going to commit to Clemson. And, you know, listen, Georgia is getting a lot right when it comes to recruiting, and
right. There's
a lot of reasons to feel good about where the program is. But, you know, even if the position fit's not great for Murphy at Georgia, and even if, you know, Georgia's going to, you know, load up and win with a bunch of, you know, outside linebackers, which is probably a comparable type position, you know, for what Murphy's going to do for Clemson. Even in the wake of all of that, it's still an L when you go after Murphy and don't get him, when you go after Brzee and don't get him. And, you know, pretty clearly on that defensive line position, that's the one area in which Georgia's recruiting has not quite seemed to match up with those other positions. And that needs to change for this program to fulfill its full potential. Now, the real challenge is that Georgia has recruited very well, but probably only well enough to make it a fair fight against teams like Alabama and kind of a fair fight against teams like Clemson. So now in kind of a 50-50 scenario, and let's face it, the Georgia-Alabama games the last 2 years, that's about what they've been, about 50-50 scenarios. Coin flip games could have gone either way. Just so happens they both went against Georgia, but Georgia's going to have to win one of those, you know, 50-50 games so it can build its own brand. It's going to have to get into a game against Clemson, the college football playoff, hopefully find a way and just kind of a knockdown drag out, not a game in which Georgia will be favored, but a game in which Georgia would have a, you know, very good chance of winning. You're going to have to find a way to get that done on the field so you can start chipping away at that recruiting brand. You know, this is really, really hard. Georgia has pretty quickly distanced itself from almost everybody else in college football but Alabama and Clemson, but those last few steps on this journey are no doubt going to be the most difficult.
Looking at the defensive lineman rankings for this 2020 class, looks like Clemson's already locked up, or at least got committed, three of the top 10 guys, which that's just mind-blowing to me. Who are some of the guys that we could look out for Georgia that, you know, you're saying Georgia needs to improve that recruiting class? I know Brian Breese committed last week to Clemson,
yeah,
and Georgia was looking at him. Who are some guys that Georgia could try to get to commit and, you know, make us have a better defensive line for the future?
I think one of the big names to think about right now is Zykevious Walker from down in, I think it's Sly County. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. I think that's how you say it, Sly County. You know, Walker recently released his list of finalists, and Georgia did make the cut on that. I don't exactly know when he's going to commit. It may be one of those deals where you have to wait, you know, a good while on that. But you know, that's one of those in-state names to think about as a way of, you know, kind of, you know, supplementing what Georgia already has. And I will say that, you know, it's probably important not to gloss over what Georgia still has coming in for this year's class. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Dog's got to recruit the defensive line better. But there are a handful of names that are going to arrive at Georgia this summer that have a chance in their own way to be contributors. I think that Bill Norton, for instance, is a really interesting prospect because he's actually got maybe, I think, a little bit of quickness to go along with, you know, kind of what Kirby Smart's looking for there from some of those defensive line positions. You know, a guy like Tymon Mitchell, who ironically, oddly maybe is the better word to use, oddly enough, was featured on the draft stage in Nashville this past weekend as a way of highlighting Tennessee high school football. You know, Mitchell's coming in. Zion Logan's coming in. Everybody knows about Trayvon Walker, who I think is going to be potentially a superstar player at Georgia. So there's an influx of talent coming with the defensive line still to arrive, you know, later on this summer for Georgia. But as you both have said, in the future, adding more names to that 2020 class, or in 2021 as well, that's just going to be a big storyline for Georgia to follow on the recruiting trail. Defensive line recruiting is always tough because there are just fewer of them. They're just a smaller number of high-quality SEC-level, national championship-level defensive linemen. Therefore, the recruiting battles for those guys are always going to be more intense. The scarcity drives the conversation.
Brandon, speaking of storylines, as we now are post-spring practice, Ross and I were kind of talking earlier how May is sort of a slow month, at least on the football calendar. Now, I know recruiting is certainly a 12-month, 365-day-a-year event. And a compliment I'll throw your way, if you don't mind, is that you find a way every single day to make your show Dog Nation Daily. You make football at Georgia, University of Georgia football, relevant day to day. So what are some of the storylines that maybe you at Dog Nation and other people can look forward to this summer? We're approaching the 100 days to kickoff, but that still seems like a long way away.
So I know this is going to sound kind of corny, but this really is true. I love this time of year, time of year we're about to get into, because I love prediction. I love hearing other people's predictions. I love the college football conversation. I'm 1,000 years old in spirit. I still like the magazines to come out. You know, a lot of people like to read this stuff, you know, on their phone, tablets these days. I like to go to the newsstand and get the magazines and sit at the swimming pool and get sunscreen and, you know, all kinds of stuff on my magazine, get ink on my body as I'm reading them. I just like all of that kind of stuff. And I'm really kind of curious to see, you know, does anybody go out on a limb regarding Georgia? Because that's what the next couple of weeks are going to be about. And thus far, some of the post-spring practice conversations, it all seems like there's a unanimity, a kind of a lockstep of Georgia right now is the preseason number three team in the country. Well, who diverges from that? Does anybody dare rank somebody ahead of Georgia? Oklahoma, for instance. Does anybody dare rank Georgia ahead of Alabama or Clemson? My guess is, for the most part, the media is going to kind of, you know, remain united on that front. But, you know, in addition to the recruiting stuff, and there will be a lot of recruiting news over the course of probably between now and the end of June, I would expect some pretty fun recruiting storylines to pop up. But just in general, in kind of the warm weather months, I love the predictions. I love the sure-to-be-wrong predictions. I love the people who are willing to take a risk and make a big, bold prediction, hot take type stuff. You know, I'm the kind of guy that whether, you know, it's on a show like we're doing right now or just in life in general, I love talking about college football. And I think some of the most fun conversations happen right now as we head towards that, you know, excitement of the season, because this is when people really start kind of trying to put their money where their mouth is.
Absolutely. Brandon, we appreciate your time as always every Wednesday morning. Just a quick preview, what do you guys be talking about on Dog Nation today?
I'm going to share some audio of something that former Georgia linebacker Natress Patrick said about Zamir White. And if you weren't already excited about White in the Georgia uniform, after you hear this story from Natress, I think you're going to be even more excited about what White may be able to do once his injury recovery is complete.
Well, now you've gotten me very excited for Dog Nation Daily. You can hear it right here on Noon, 960 The Ref, also in podcast form. And you guys go live on Facebook at 10 o'clock every morning. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you next week.
You have a great day.
Thanks, Brandon.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.